Had a great laugh as I introduced him as future governor-elect Kobe Bryant. That memory from Scott Siegel of the Solomon Society in Newport Beach. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Christine.
Yeah, appreciate you being on our podcast, Kobe Bryant Remembered, Voices of the People. You actually got to sit down with Kobe for a full evening in 2017?
Yes, February of 2017.
And we should note that's post-Laker days.
Yeah, he had just retired, and he just had his fourth girl.
Okay, and Kobe being a Newport guy, he actually walked to the event.
He was right there. He came right from the helicopter, right to his car, to this event, and the guy just lit up the room. He just is the most remarkable, engaging person that us as a group had met with.
When we say helicopter, we should note that he had been at a soccer match. How do I know this? Because I, too, was at the soccer match. I think it was Lancaster or Palmdale. I, however, drove from that location to Newport, and he did come by helicopter.
It showed the commitment to both his daughter and to his community that he would do both of these events the same day.
So what a loss to think of the helicopter crash and all nine souls aboard. Where were you when you heard the news?
That morning, my son called me and he goes, "Dad, have you heard the news about Kobe?" And I hadn't, and it just and immediately I was online and I was unable to find anything. I mean, he knew about it through another source, and it's just crushing. I mean, it's like a Marvel real life superhero who is gone, and he was so authentic. He was such a human, and yet he exhibited. All the ideals and skills and inspiration and good looks and a love for community and family like no one I've had a connection with.
Had you met him before your event?
Just watching him play basketball and perhaps in the community here or there. He came to our home once for Halloween with his girls. Knocking on the door. My wife dressed up, Leslie, in her Dalmatian Cruella de Vil outfit and passed out candy. And that was him. He was authentic and went to the neighborhoods.
Well, I always describe your neighborhood as Mayberry because I've gotten to come to your home, too. But, you know, in Southern California, in case anybody's listening to this who's not from here, you know, celebrities and athletes, they live amongst us. This is Hollywood, so it's not surprising to run into somebody at the Gelson's grocery store.
Yes.
That is very famous.
Yeah, and just to get some context, I've been, after running California Closets with my wife for 36 years, we immediately sold the business and transitioned into nonprofit. And one of our big projects was this Distinguished Speaker Series. And we've had a lot, we always look for people that inspire us, that have a journey, a story. And so we've had William Shatner and more recently Gary Sinise and Peter Walsh, Oprah's clutter guru. But to have a chance, an opportunity with the Solomon Society, and these are guys that are enormously successful and influential in the community, and they have a priority to give back. They want to help underserved families. And we said, what could be better than to get Kobe Bryant? And I had a connection through California Closets, a database, but the right approach was to go directly through his charity. At that time, it was Kobe Inc., and it's transitioned into Mamba.
And Mambacita.
Yeah. And at that time, he was very big on mentoring young students and community and families on how to be a good teammate. And so I reached out to his charity organization, and I said, look, we have a terrific group of guys. They're influential. They're affluential. They probably just didn't go to the games. They probably had a suite, and they would love to hear what's next for Kobe. Maybe talk about his financial ventures and all these projects. And they asked about what we do and how we serve the community, and that appealed to them. And he said, we'll do it. And they figured out this date. And ends up as, and we were so grateful, Christine, to have you be our wonderful moderator.
Yes, we should throw that in, that it's a men's organization. And I was really surprised when you asked me to MC. And I think you know, obviously, Scott, you know, I had worked a little bit with Kobe Bryant since 2004, doing our Wednesday's Child segment with him. So we had a personal connection. Perhaps that's why I got the invite to be amongst you great men to moderate.
Well, Yeah, we care deeply about serving the community and families, and I've heard you before. For those of you who know, Christine helped us with our William Shatner event a few years ago at our temple, and
I get to go to all these great events.
Well,
and sit in the audience at the Gary Sinise event.
Yeah, that was remarkable.
We should note that the podcast is not just about my friends. It is about stories that I've seen of people on maybe social media that I follow or that I've known in the community. And I really wanted to do a podcast on the voices of the people. I wanted to know, what moved you about Kobe Bryant? And initially, when the crash happened, you and I were texting right away about this shared moment that we had in 2017.
It's crushing. My heart was crushed. I mean, I'm going to be 60 years old this week. And yes, we've had challenges in our family and have had losses. Something about Kobe, though, it transitioned. My kids grew up with Kobe Bryant. Our friends grew up with him. And it wasn't just going to a game. I mean, this was a guy that exhibited extraordinary talent for so long. And so we thought, gee, maybe he'll come down, he'll talk about his venture capitalist projects and this and that. But ultimately, Christine, it was a beautiful, loving conversation that primarily focused on his 4 a.m. philosophy, which was about that what distinguished Kobe was he was willing to put the extra work in. And he didn't judge other guys or his teammates if they didn't do it. But he said, but this is who I am. He goes, I am still that little kid who dreamed of one day coming out of the tunnel with 5 seconds left on the game score and shooting the winning basket. He goes, that's how I live my life. He goes, and I owe it to the community to be
Let's
that good.
Let's just say this. I anchor the night shift news here at Fox 11, so the 5 and 10 p.m. I'm not home till 1 a.m. Do I have to do the 4 a.m.?
You know what? It's a metaphorical. Is that the term?
Yeah.
It's he said, you don't have to get up at 4 a.m., but what you do have to have is decide what is your 4 a.m.? What is it that drives you, that brings you purpose, mm-hmm. that brings you fulfillment, that can make a difference in the world? And that was my immediate takeaway that day. I said, it's like, what can we do to continue to repair the world? And work at it tirelessly and make adjustments and skill up and understand how to be a better person.
Okay, so I can do it at maybe 1 a.m. when I'm still awake.
You can do it
stay
at 1
late at the office. Okay. You're really bringing a different perspective from anybody else on our podcast. And I think Oscar, who's our producer, Oscar Flores, I like how I roll that R. I don't always roll the R. Do you mind if I roll the R this time? Oscar Flores? Flores, whatever you like. Okay. So, Oscar, you might agree, too, that this perhaps is one of our more different podcasts because we've done a graffiti artist that I had profiled many years ago. We have done a singer that keeps in touch with me on Instagram that I'd met. And I just wanted to really hear the different perspectives. And so let me ask you this, Scott. Were you a Laker fan? Like, you went to the games? Are you a ticket goer, ticket holder?
Okay, so full disclosure, I'm a big Dodger fan.
Okay.
And so I love the Dodgers, but I grew up with the Lakers and I just admired his skill. And so to go to a game occasionally was an amazing experience. Because he's a superstar doesn't do enough. It's got to be a giant, not lowercase, a higher case. Yes, I'll tell you, the guy was so remarkable in his skill, but the brightness and the shine and the enthusiasm was so unique that he's the Mick Jagger of basketball. You just have to go see this guy. He just didn't want to be missed. And I asked his team if they'd sign some balls and shirts, and sure enough, they did. And again, we thought we'd come down and, okay, he'll talk about his venture capitalist projects. But instead, he talked about what it is that drove him and how we can adapt that same philosophy and creativity. He had just been completing his Dear Basketball
movie. Documentary.
The documentary
that won the Oscar.
And he talked about how what people may not know is it was scored by John Williams. And he's a big John Williams fan. He loves the music. He said he loved the music from Star Wars and Jaws and E.T. And he wanted a Steven Spielberg-esque type feel. And I rewatched that Dear Basketball. And it is just the most moving, inspiring short that it tells his story. It really is all out there about his deep love for the game and how it turned him into somebody that felt he can inspire those around him. And you see these kids, their faces, how they lit up. We saw some news clips from years back and how an individual is still inspired by that one meeting with Kobe.
We should play a clip of that Dear Basketball. And, you know, I interviewed Kobe Bryant before he retired. He was on that last kind of Goodwill tour. And I asked him, what's next? And he said, I want to get into media. I want to get into film. And I said, do you want my job, media? And he said, no, not necessarily. So it was so neat to see that right out of the blocks, he gets this Oscar-winning project that he does.
Yeah, yeah. And Guarding the Greats. He created that on the uniqueness of, for a novice who doesn't understand the nuances of basketball. He gave us a peek inside what it takes to distinguish yourself and guard some of the great players in the NBA. And, you know, aside from the movies, your creativity and his 4 a.m., he really left us with his love for his girls, from Vanessa down to those girls, five of them.
Well, let me get back to the music reference. You said Mick Jagger. He's the Mick Jagger of basketball. I know how much you love music.
Yes.
And you share that with your kids as well. You have a daughter and a son. They're grown.
Yes.
And so they kind of, you mentioned they grew up with Kobe Bryant. He was their generation.
Yeah. Josh and Ashley, they were both recently engaged, two terrific kids.
Nice and chapter for you.
We are very grateful. It's story, you know, and that's part of what this message is, I think, for many of our community. I don't want to, I hate to use the example of 9/11, how it changes your perspective. But this terrible crash, which affected many people in our community. I have friends whose kids were coached by one of the women that passed, died.
Christina Mauser.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the remarkable stories of these people. And it's sort of, this will hit for generations. And my kids, they absolutely grew up with the icon that was Kobe Bryant, from the media, for the basketball, the sports, his appearances, and his inspiration, his just the brightness and enthusiasm he had for every part of life.
Do you remember at the end of the event, Kobe had stayed around kind of to mingle? And then I believe the message was, Vanessa needs you home.
Yeah.
Right. And so as you think of the photo that you have with your daughter and you think of Vanessa and the kids, what comes to mind for you for Vanessa?
It's heartbreaking that they will always have that emptiness. And yet I sure hope she's able to connect to the love, the deep love and appreciation that people have for Vanessa, her family, and for Kobe, that how he was able to, and to see that family, what a loving, beautiful family they had that is just characteristic of everything we'd want to be. And hope that as these girls grow up, that they'll cherish those memories and they'll cherish the movies and videos, and they'll be hearing stories the rest of their life on how Kobe Bryant in some way impacted them, touched them, inspired them to do something great.
Well, they'll have this podcast as well, because we're doing a series of different interviews and different perspectives. And on that note of Kobe really is one of us as a Southern Californian. You know, I was leaving your house one time and I got my nails done in Newport. And who was there? Vanessa and the girls. I think two of the girls at the time. And I didn't recognize her at the time. I looked over and said, who is that beautiful woman with those beautiful kids? And, you know, she and I both had this long, dark hair. And I just thought, those children are just darling. And the woman said, that's Vanessa Bryant. And, you know, I didn't want to be that person that bothered them. It's kind of an L.A. thing. You don't really bother people because they want to live their lives, too. I kind of wanted to almost say, hey, just want to show you some support. It can't be easy being an NBA wife. So I wanted to mentally show some support for her. But I think that's probably one of the hardest things for people, to think of a mother who's lost a husband.
Yes.
And a child. I can't imagine that.
Yeah. And there's and the influence he had on all those kids in the school, and how it's just, there's an emptiness. And I was able to reach out a few times to his contact to invite him to certain events. And they didn't say, leave us alone. They said, let us know the next event. And it happened to be, I know he was a John Williams fan. And
music.
Yeah, and then June 5th and 6th, there's this big concert celebrating John Williams and Star Wars, Star Trek. And I said, gee, that would have been something he very much would have loved.
Well, let's talk about you, because I love sharing the background of people's stories. There's so much richness to their story as to why they were touched by Kobe Bryant. So first off, what is the Solomon Society in Newport Beach?
So Solomon Society is a group of Jewish guys who got together and said, let's create events that are fun, that inspire one another, and ultimately, let's do it to serve the community and to reflect and see. So we've supported Orangewood, which is for
Children's Home,
and Blaze It Forward, friends of ours, Gideon and Jeannie Bernstein, who lost their son tragically. And so they have a Blaze It Forward, which is trying to create events, projects, and mentoring to do the right thing, to help inspire others. And
I know on MLK Day, you were all down there working on that project.
Yes.
Martin Luther King Day.
Yes. That was at Orangewood. So we were packing up fruit and vegetables and for the homeless. And so the guys are terrific. And this was something that we really loved. And we get together and talk about what we can do to inspire one another, to give examples to our kids, and lift each other up and do the right thing.
And many of your speaker events are at Temple Bat Yam. Are you still the president?
So after 36 years at California Closets,
You got to do something, right?
So Leslie and I, we sort of transitioned to nonprofit projects. And I was asked, I sort of went in through the back door of Temple Bat Yam. I was like the Gerald Ford of the temple.
They got in, got an office.
Yeah, they no one knew what hit them. And, but I hit the ground running and developed a youth engagement program and started a Distinguished Speaker Series program. And that, for me, the highlights were having William Shatner. And that was, you know, he's a hero of mine. I greatly admire all the projects he does, and I have.
You've seen like every Star Trek?
I am a big Star Trek fan, but I'll tell you what, I'm a William Shatner fan. Okay. He has something called the Hollywood Horse Show that does equine therapy at the LA Equestrian Center every year, and it supports our first responders and the police. And there's a lot to be said for how equine therapy helps PTSD and people. So help him out with that. And I had Dennis Prager out for a spirited dialogue and had
Politics?
Talking politics. Yeah, that was great. Had a debate. And we had Peter Walsh, who was Oprah's clutter guru at the time. And so,
I clearly need to go back and relook at that one because I've not mastered the clutter issue.
You know, my takeaway for your audience on Peter Walsh is he talks about how are the things you have, are the things you're acquiring, are they bringing you closer or are they pulling you away from a fulfilled vision? So understand what is it you want out of life, and when you're ready to buy more things and collect more stuff, is it bringing you closer or pulling you away, and then evaluating that.
Well, the one takeaway, because I've heard you speak about clutter, you're a great speaker about that, and I've wanted to do a podcast just on the clutter issue with you, so you have to come back another time. But one takeaway you gave me was, those old magazines, nobody wants them. Are you sure? I hate to throw away a good old magazine.
It's like in the freezer, you have UFOs, unidentified frozen objects. You know, there's so many things we seem to collect. Well, maybe one day I'm going to need that one day, you know, but
that is my theory.
You know,
that's my theory.
And you got those clothes in the closet that may not fit. And in one day,
I'm going to lose that weight.
But see, all those clothes do is mock you. They look at you, go, you think one day, you know, so we have to live our life now. And make good choices to live a healthy life. And you know what? It all comes back down to Kobe. What are we doing to be the best person possible? How are we fulfilling our community,
our
family?
You're going to lay that on me, huh?
I'm telling you, you know, you think about that. He's got his 4 a.m. We'll be up at 4 a.m. trying to think of these metaphorical ideas, big dreams.
I've tried to part with some of my old magazines. I do a couple at a time. It's painful. But you've also had Gary Sinise. He was a great speaker, too.
Gary Sinise was remarkable.
A great actor.
Yes, from Chicago. He started up theater, and of course, he's Forrest Gump. And he was on CSI New York for a dozen years. And he's got a foundation called Gary Sinise Foundation that supports first responders and Those they build smart homes and mobility
for veterans.
Veterans.
Veterans who perhaps have been injured and need those smart homes, like the special cabinets that they can access or things like that, right?
Yes, thank you. Yes. For those who are disabled in some way, and he does a smart homes, he does a smart mobility projects, and he does something called the Snowball Express. And he sends up to 2,000 kids of fallen soldiers and first responders to Disney World. And it's just the most remarkable event. In fact, that's how I connected with the president of Disneyland, Josh D'Amaro. And he set me up. He got me this beautiful new lightsaber from Galaxy's Edge. And I presented it to Gary that evening in hopes that it would be something to inspire him. As he opened it up, there was nothing in it. I said, gee, if only we had a Jedi somewhere in our audience. We had a sold out event.
Where
of 750
would you find
people.
A Jedi?
Well, we had him. We had a 94-year-old World War II vet, Les Jones, and he stood up and he said, "I'm a Jedi," and he brought that lightsaber right up to Gary, and it was a very fulfilling event. So I'm a big fan of his, and he's the Mother Teresa for veterans. He just he gives so much of his time and energy to bring awareness. And I really love that foundation.
Do you just love your life? Because the life you're painting here, meeting these fascinating people who are making such a difference, it's amazing.
I'm fortunate that my wife, Leslie, is paving the way for me. She's said, you know, something, she has said to me, she goes, do the things that bring meaning to you. She goes, if it means something to you, if it's fulfilling for you, then I'll support you in these things. And in so doing now, my wife, Leslie, who's been a twice breast cancer survivor, was just asked to be the spokesperson for City of Hope on their walk come in October.
I get to go to that too.
You sure do.
Yes.
That's, I believe, October 3rd in Duarte.
The calendar. Okay.
And so she's very big on trying to help women who are going through this process. It's very emotional. Now our son is just recovering now from yet testicular cancer. So it's very delightful to be walking through that City of Hope hospital again. But you know what? We are grateful that our family is mending. They're forging ahead, and we continue, you know, an evening like this where I'm reminded of all the great things that Kobe did. Mm-hmm. I have to reflect again and say, what do I still need to do?
Uh-oh.
To be fulfilled, to do the right thing, to repair this world.
So Kobe Bryant, with all those speakers you've named, how did he fit in with that? To me, I loved that he was celebrating diversity in Southern California and coming to the Solomon Society with you, as you say, a group of Jewish men.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
It was great. And we gave him a Kiddush cup, and we said, look, and it's so funny, because they were serving wine. He goes, Scott, don't you have anything better than wine? I go, I do. And I said, I got a little Johnny Walker Blue for you, Kobe. And one of my favorite photos from that evening is setting him up. And we said, and our head of the Solomon Society, Kenny Beard, said, you know something, Kobe? We say L'chaim. We say to life. And we build a camaraderie, a brotherhood, and we're grateful that you are here tonight to celebrate us. And you are now an official member of the Solomon Society. You're welcome at any time. And at this year's annual event, we call it Late Night, where the guys all get together. We raise a lot of money and we have some laughs with a comic. We had Bill Burr recently as a comic. We're going to do something special to honor Kobe that evening. I mean, he's going to be in our memories forever. It's a night that the guys to this day, they all called me that day. I got so many texts, you know, Scott,
the day of the crash.
You know, I mean, because I was able to, you know, I'm grateful that I was able to create this event to bring him to. And
and it wasn't an easy get, because I know how hard you work to get these speakers. I mean, these are people that are really at the top of their game, the top of their careers, and they get a lot of invitations, a lot of asks. So it took it took some effort for you to make this happen.
You know, Christine, in our line of business, I'll bet you've been told no by certain celebrities too. Speak with.
Yes.
And so there are maybe a few celebrities I would have loved to have had, but he was the top of the list. And really what they said is, tell us about your organization. What do you do? How do you help the community?
That's what Kobe's organization wanted
Kobe's,
to know?
That's what Kobe's team wanted to know.
Yeah.
And as opposed to, a fee or things like that, that wasn't what they were interested in. In fact, We even offered. I said, look, at California Closets, I'm happy to do some office build out. They said, not necessary. We appreciate what you guys are doing. He's coming. And wow. It was just a remarkable evening. It was a beautiful private home up in Newport Coast. And he, as we left, Kobe, he looks out at the spectacular ocean view.
Yes, I'm looking at photos now of you and your team and Kobe.
You can post those. He said, he looked at me and he goes, before I go, he goes, I look at this and I say, one day. I go, even you, Kobe, says one day. He goes, we've all got to have a one day. You know?
Yeah, because I will admit we were at a quite impressive home.
Yes.
It was one of those wow homes. And Kobe was even impressed.
Absolutely.
By this home.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they invited him for a Shabbat dinner. And I'm sure at some point that would have worked out. You know,
yeah.
Just the guy was just nonstop. You're right. Nonstop busy, being asked by so many people to be a part of the organization. And after that, I had schools. Hey, can you get Kobe to do this? Can you get, you know, I mean.
Of course. You know Kobe, right? So yeah. The buzz for the men in the organization, how many men do you think attended that night?
There had to be about 115 guys.
What kind of buzz was there when you said, we're getting Kobe?
They, you know, we had to limit the amount because it was at a private home and people were frustrated who couldn't be a part of it. Not the least of which was my wife. I love you, Leslie, you know, but it was a guy's thing. And so.
one good woman. Maybe.
Yes. We had Christine and we had my daughter, Ashley, yeah. Who was our photo Sherpa. And so the guys, there was just great alignment because his message fulfilled us, and we all, our takeaway was, boy, if this guy can say, look, that was then, but this is now, I'm looking forward, you know, there was, he just fell in love with creativity, he fell in love with accomplishing what's next, and he was certainly in love with his family.
When he walked in the door, you chuckle?
He walks in the door. And I mean, it just lights up. There was an energy, right? Yeah. He lights up the room, and he was in a fantastic mood. He was excited. He was happy, and he just gave a hey, guys, and it was like that was it. We all melted, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of. I mean, I suppose back east. Look, Tom Brady may have that with people back east and such. But Tom Brady is an exceptional football player. I don't know. I can't speak to what he's known for outside of the game. Doesn't mean he's not.
Yeah.
But Kobe in Southern California was known for his tremendous philanthropy, tremendous creativity, his love for his family and the community. There was just so much that he was involved with that, yes, when I said to him, I think we can address you now as future governor-elect Bryant, and he gave a laugh. He goes, I don't need to do that. But yes, I think the guys would have been very enthusiastic.
You never know. And unfortunately, you know, we won't know.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is one of the great tragedies in this tragedy where 9 people lost their lives. Kobe, his daughter Gianna. What else he might have been interested in doing? I mean, we think of Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was our governor.
Yes.
Would you have ever envisioned something like that?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I just saw yesterday Arnold is really making an effort to try and understand and uncover how we can help the homeless situation here in Southern California. Mm-hmm. And Leslie and I are part of Illuminations Project in Orange County that helps the homeless. There's an event coming up. And I'm certain, I mean, look, Kobe, his influence, his love for the common people, and helping us out and lifting people up emotionally, spiritually, physically. There were so many facets to him. I make it sound like he, you know, walked on water, but he walked on a basketball court. He walked on that parquet like nobody else and did it in a way that had to inspire people.
Well, this has been a beautiful chat, just such unique perspective. I've loved all of our voices of the people Kobe Bryant remembered. Give me a last thought, maybe either something that stands out that you haven't mentioned or your parting words to Kobe that night of your really special event, a night that you'll never forget, and you've got the photos as proof.
You know, what was lasting for me was his 4 a.m. mentality. and that he was willing to do things to be exceptional, and that yet he still said, I'm still that little kid. He goes, we all of us are little kids out there. He goes, and we all dream about that moment when there's 5 seconds left on the clock and we're running out of the tunnel. And he basically said, I'm still running. I'm still running. You know, it's to something else. I may not be able to make the three-pointer, the winning shot, but it's to something creative, it's something in the community, and certainly to demonstrate the deep love he had for his family.
All right, Scott Siegel, thank you so much. From Solomon Society, Temple Bat Yam, Pacific Symphony, City of Hope, Jewish Federation of Orange County, great perspective. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Christine. And I'm gonna fly with
you tonight. We leave you with the song Wings as we take a moment to honor all nine on board that helicopter that crashed in Calabasas, California on January 26, 2020, on the way to Kobe Bryant's Mamba Academy. Those names are John, Alyssa, and Carrie Altobelli, Sarah and Peyton Chester, Christina Mauser, Ara Zobayan, Kobe Bryant, and his daughter Gianna. Anyone wishing to donate to a fund set up for the families can donate to mambaon3.org. Wings is by singer Tim Johnson Jr. We'll hear his story on another episode of this podcast series, Voices of the People, Kobe Bryant Remembered. You give me wings to fly, oh fly.
We don't have to worry about a thing. Spread your wings.